embattled Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz was one of the very few members in the entire Congress who bothered to stand up against permanent Washington on behalf of his constituents.
Matt Gaetz right now, he's a problem for the Democratic Party, and he can cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him.
If you stand for the flag and kneel in prayer, if you want to build America up and not burn her to the ground, then welcome, my fellow patriots. You are in the right place. This is the movement for you.
You ever watch this guy on television? It's like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state. They aren't really coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just in the way.
Welcome to Firebrand. We have a jam-packed episode this week. Breaking revelations regarding what's going on the border, who is to blame, and an actual plan to solve the problem. We also have an explosive interview with Congressman Andy Biggs, head of the Freedom Caucus, one of the smartest guys on the border. He's pushing to impeach Joe Biden, Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. But there is breaking news that we have to deal with. CNN's Ryan Nobles is reporting that the Nancy Pelosi January 6th Witch Hunt Committee has now placed a demand of preservation on the personal phone records of members of the United States Congress. What members of Congress? The firebrands, the fighters, the names you know. Lauren Boebert of Colorado, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, who's on the show later, Paul Gosar, Mo Brooks, who's running for the U.S. Senate in Alabama, Madison Cawthorn, myself, Louie Gohmert of Texas, and Jody Heiss. He's running for Secretary of State in Georgia. Very strong, very tough congressman. Nancy Pelosi and the January 6th committee are doing this to derail the people who are doing most to fight for actual Americans and for the America First agenda, and particularly for election integrity. So be careful what you wish for, Nancy Pelosi, because power changes hands in Washington. And if the new ritual that goes along with one party handing the speaker gavel to another party is the expectation that phone records will be handed over, that personal information will be gone through, well, then you know what? We might have to play that game too. When Republicans take over, there might be a lot of preservation demands. Maybe for the stock trades of Nancy Pelosi's husband. Maybe for the actual connections that exist between the Jihad Squad and groups that foment political violence here in America, like Black Lives Matter, like the bail funds that were set up to get people out of incarceration who had actually done harm to our businesses, harm to our fellow Americans, and who created a sense of unsafety on our streets. So we also have to recognize that it's particularly noteworthy the way the Democrats are going about doing this. You know what? If they want our phone records, they should just step forward and say they want our phone records exposed to the American people, what tyrants, what Marxists they are truly being. But instead, they issue a third-party demand to phone providers, and then they leak our names because they want to create a cloud of criminality around people who are making legitimate claims for election integrity. Now, I don't trust the FBI much. You should go back in episode one and look at all of their frailties and flaws. But the FBI, the director, even came out and said that there was no mass coordination of violence on January 6th, and yet the Democrats are using these tactics anyway. So we need to get tougher. We need to get stronger. We have to fight back against these people who would do great harm to our country. And I think the Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, needs to step forward and remove Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger from all of their committees if they want to be Nancy Pelosi's representative on this witch hunt committee. More to come later. So in the United States, you have a constitutional right to not be invaded. Bet you didn't know that. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution states that the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Oxford Dictionary describes an invasion as an incursion by a large number of people or things into a place, an unwelcome intrusion into another's domain. The difference between Constantinople and Istanbul is the people. It matters not whether the Ottoman hoarders peacefully walked in the gates or stormed the ramparts. The method of entry is irrelevant. Once invaders are here, the damage is done. It's not politically correct, but it is the truth. America is being invaded across our southern border. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, 1,510,772 enforcement actions have occurred in fiscal year 21. That is over twice the amount of fiscal year 20. Biden and Kamala, they've totally failed. On Joe Biden's first day as president, he signed just a plethora of destructive executive orders in a desperate attempt to undo the progress of the Trump presidency. Biden immediately reversed Donald Trump's executive order 13768, which calls for the prompt removal of all illegal immigrants living in the United States, and he withdrew federal funding from so-called sanctuary states. Joe Biden's executive order on the revision of civil immigration enforcement policies and priorities paved the way for the immigration crisis that we are suffering right now, this year. In fact, even the Washington Post reported that ICE deportations fell to a record low in April 2021. But it didn't have to be this way. ICE deported less than 3,000 people in April, the lowest monthly total on record, a 20% decline from March. If ICE deportation numbers continue at this pace, we will likely deport fewer than 100,000 people in 2021. That is the lowest number since the agency's founding in 2003, and it's not justified. You see, we've got over 100,000 people coming across the border illegally every month, and over the course of a year, we're only going to deport 100,000 of them? It's unsustainable. Additionally, Joe Biden released a proclamation on the termination of emergency with respect to the southern border of the United States and redirection of funds diverted to border wall construction. In other words, he stopped wall funding and decided to declare that there is no state of emergency at our southern border. It's like he's entered a state of denial. Shortly after positioning himself for failure on immigration, Joe Biden passed the buck and officially tasked Kamala Harris to lead the border effort. What a terrible decision that was.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries that help us. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Kamala will never build the wall and will never stem the flow of illegal aliens. In June, nearly 3 months since being appointed czar of the border, Kamala didn't even manage to visit the southern border, as evidenced by this cringeworthy interview with Lester Holt.
There's one other topic I wanted to talk to you about. But let me just quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Kamala's been acting like the slacker in your high school group project, procrastinating until the final night with no plan and then leaving everyone else overburdened and stranded. Some politicians tell you that the invasion is inevitable, an unsolvable problem. This border cannot be commanded. Mountains, rivers, deserts, gorges, it can't be tamed. It may have a life of its own.
And finally, I would suggest that the proposal made by another candidate of building a fence based on the common sense practices that are being applied here doesn't work.
Which is windy. It includes urban areas where there is a wall. There's a wall across 700 miles of it, but it also includes mountains and desert.
Do you need cameras? Do you need electronic devices? You need these. You need the aerial devices to be able to police it. In the mountainous areas, you can't build a wall over a mountain, so you need cameras and you need drones up there.
These are husks of humans. They're not leaders. They have no vision, no sense. You think we can't build a wall, secure the border in 2021? As of 2018, 21 countries had border walls, with even more under construction. Heck, China has a big, beautiful wall, a great wall, some might say. They've had it since the 7th century BC. Israel has a very effective wall, too. They're a serious country that means business. They can't afford not to. Matter of fact, neither can we. Imagine telling the Chinese or the Israelis that walls don't work or that they're too costly. They would laugh you out of their country. I don't think the Surrender the Border Caucus has ever even been inside a casino. It is actually quite possible to know who is coming and going. We are a nation of Ring Door HD video cameras. Heaven forbid so much as the Jehovah's Witness come to our door before we get a real-time look at them in Technicolor first. It is not that the people of America don't understand that we must know who seeks entry to our home. Our leaders. They don't treat our nation as our home. And it is a grave betrayal. Instead, they allow our country to be overrun, trashed, violated. In moments, you'll hear my interview with Congressman Andy Biggs. He's the smartest guy on immigration in Congress. He represents Arizona, a state on the front lines of this invasion. He's chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, and he'll make the case that this job can be done, and that the Biden Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, deserves impeachment for not doing it. There's a more dangerous part of the Invasion Invitation Caucus, those who argue that America should have open borders, really no borders at all. And then when people come across, these folks say they should be citizens. This does away with the idea of the nation state. To these mindless fools, America, it's just a parking lot, a shopping mall, a group of producers and consumers, a GDP, an idea. America is not just an idea. Notice how the Afghans and Iraqis didn't exactly pick up a copy of the Constitution and create a functioning Jeffersonian republic. America is different. We are a common people with a common culture. We are unique.
Open borders.
That's
a Koch brothers proposal.
The idea,
of course, I mean, that's a right-wing proposal. Which says essentially there is no United States.
But it would make a lot of the global poor richer, wouldn't it?
And it'd make everybody in America poor. Then you're doing away with the concept of a nation state. And I don't think there's any country in the world which believes in that. If you believe in a nation state or in a country called the United States or UK or Denmark or any other country, you have an obligation, in my view, to do everything we can to help poor people. What right-wing people in this country would love is an open border policy. Bring in all kinds of people who work for $2 or $3 an hour. That would be great for them. You know what youth unemployment in the United States of America today? If you're white, a white kid, high school graduate, 33%, a Hispanic, 36%, African-American, 51%. You think we should open the borders and bring in a lot of low-wage workers? Or do you think maybe we should try to get jobs for those kids? So I think from a moral responsibility, we've got to do work with the rest of the industrialized world to address the problems of international poverty, but you don't do that by making people in this country even poorer.
I love unwoke America First Bernie. Where did that guy go? The America Last lawmakers want to hand out citizenship as freely as we hand out orange juice at the Florida border because they have too low a view of America. They're the same ones who support racist critical race theory. They're the same ones who think American history should revolve around our flaws, not our achievements. Take a listen.
The reality is, Madam Speaker, I went down to the border as well multiple times. In fact, I see my colleague over here. I think he called me, I forget what he called me, but I think he called me a congresswoman coyote. No, I'm not yielding to you, Mr. Gates, but appreciated that because I helped children come across the border as a member of Congress. How could anybody be against that? These were children traveling alone. And had I not been there as a member of Congress, they wouldn't have gotten over and been able to be processed.
If we love America as much as we should cherish citizenship more than we do. Its allocations should be husbanded, restricted, I would say, not expanded to anyone who can lie, cheat, or invade their way onto our soil. Upon accepting the Republican presidential nomination in 1924, Calvin Coolidge made the case. Quote, "Restricted immigration is not an offensive, but purely a defensive action. It's not adopted in criticism of others in the slightest degree, but solely for the purpose of protecting ourselves. We cast no aspersions on any race or creed, but we must remember that every object of our institutions of society and government will fail unless America be kept American." I think President Trump put it even more succinctly.
Why do wealthy politicians build walls, fences, and gates around their homes? They don't build walls because they hate the people on the outside, but because they love the people on the inside.
The left knows how to use language to seize power. Just look at how they've done it on the issue of immigration. Illegal aliens. That's how we referred to people who broke the law to come to our country without permission. It's how liberals, the media, Democrats referred to them.
Legal immigration is wrong.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country.
If making it easy to be an illegal alien isn't enough, how about offering a reward for being an illegal immigrant? No sane country would do that.
Then the left did what they always do when they want to shut people up. They invoked racism. Calling people illegal aliens was racist, so we had to call them undocumented.
My amendments aim to allow the Library of Congress to move forward with its proposed changes to replace the term aliens in subject headings with non-citizens and replace the term illegal alien with non-citizens and unauthorized immigration. Let me be clear. I believe that the term alien is not only offensive, but also dehumanizing. These folks may not be U.S. citizens, but they're not from outer space.
The Biden administration orders U.S. immigration agencies to stop using terms such as alien and illegal alien when referring to immigrants. The Washington Post says the change is detailed in memos to department heads. Among the changes, the term alien will become non-citizen or migrant, and illegal will become undocumented.
Undocumented is a lot different than illegal. It makes it sound like the people who break into our country are simply missing some paperwork, like when you don't have the right three forms of ID at the DMV. A technicality, really. They aren't undocumented. They are uninvited, unwelcome, unworthy of citizenship or amnesty of any kind or flavor. These days, we rarely even hear the word undocumented anymore. Now they're migrants. Right. The United States has a carrying capacity. The indefinitely expanding population of illegal aliens, along with the Biden administration's abrupt stop to securing our border, present significant national security and public safety threats to the United States. As the left continuously posits that we cannot take care of our own people, they simultaneously widen the net and increase the burden on the already burdened U.S. dollar. The Federation of American Immigration Reform found that the total cost of illegal immigration after subtracting the taxes they pay is roughly $116 billion. Illegal aliens increase our budget deficits. They expect to be taken care of, and if they're able to vote in federal elections because the ID requirement is eroded, well, then they're going to be able to support and elect their free money, free health care Democrat sponsors. We are the United States of America, not the Salvation Army. This notion that U.S. taxpayers and citizens are morally responsible for distributing other people's money because Mexicans and Central Americans and South Americans want it, it's ignorant. It's half an argument. It forgets the millions of people around the world that are impoverished. Look, there are a lot of people around the world with very sad stories, but it's just a reality that the American taxpayer can't take care of all of them. So why would we start by taking care of the people who break into our country? While our social media influencers and woke politicians feel good about themselves and their virtue signaling, they fail to recognize that prioritization of illegal immigrants over American citizens hurts the poorest Americans first and most. The border crisis and implosion of enforcement is happening on purpose. All the Democrats want it. They think it helps them expand a political power base. They need new voters. I mean, after all, in many places where Democrats have held political power for generations, like Detroit, Chicago, New York, life sucks. They need a new political coalition because they've let down those who have trusted them the most. If the leftists can't convince Americans to vote Democrat, they will import people who will. But there is more to this scandal. It is bipartisan in all the wrong ways. There's an unholy alliance between Democrats who want voters, the bleeding heart liberals that do their bidding, and massive multinational corporations that want a surplus of unskilled labor to keep wages stagnant and low for Americans. It's not enough for these corporations to cut costs by shipping your jobs abroad. They want to scalp your salaries and auction off your jobs at home too. It's no surprise then that some Republicans are right there supporting illegal immigration and the policies that encourage illegal immigration. They're shills for big corporations. They slurp up the lobbyist donations that I refuse. We have a broken border on purpose. It's great for the Democrats' voting base and big corp's bottom line. Don't worry, the Cato Institute says that immigration is good for GDP. But the loser in this transaction is the American people. And it is time that we put them first. We're going to talk about it with one of Congress's best, Andy Biggs of Arizona, leader of the Freedom Caucus, thorn in the side of the leadership in both parties, former Arizona Senate president, and America first to the core. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Congressman Andy Biggs. Here with Congressman Andy Biggs, who is leading the fight in the House of Representatives to impeach Joe Biden's Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Mayorkas. I've joined Andy in that effort. Andy, make the case for the Mayorkas impeachment.
So when we think of Mayorkas, most people don't even know who he is, but they do understand that there's a crisis on the border, that 213,000 people were apprehended last month, and also that we've had a system of records of people getting apprehended. We also know that there are drugs flowing across like crazy, and it's dangerous. So people understand that. But we make the case against Mayorkas by understanding that this is part of their plan. This is not like that this just happened. They weren't unaware that it's climate change doing this or COVID, because you had that a year ago. But what this is Mayorkas willfully imposing policies that make Americans less safe. He's told ICE, he's told them to not enforce as much. He's redirected some of his assets and Border Patrol agents and personnel. They've reinstituted catch and release. He's violated Title 8 by doing so. He weakened Title 42, which was the health emergency law that allowed them to keep people out of the country. And to that end, he's incentivized people to come through our border. And so now we have a porous border, we're less safe, and he's done it on purpose.
One of our colleagues on the House Judiciary Committee, a fellow Republican, came to me recently and said, gosh, you know, Biggs is way out there on a limb wanting to impeach Mayorkas. I mean, don't we need to hold hearings first? And don't we need to kind of lay predicate and warm up the country to this notion? Impeachment is this gravest, most serious of remedies. And I know why I've joined you in this effort. It's because I don't think that this is happening by accident. I don't think that you impeach people based on incompetence and failures of judgment. I think you impeach people when they are purposefully doing something to fail. And so I want you to respond to that Republican criticism that, you know, well, we can be very forceful in our critique of Mayorkas, but, oh, impeachment is a bridge too far.
Well, you know, and you're exactly right when you say that we wouldn't impeach somebody for being merely incompetent. But this is not mere incompetence. It's as you so artfully said, this is willful. This is purposeful. And the result is that we're less safe. So what I would tell my colleagues and what I've tried to make the case to them is, yeah, most Americans are seeing this. They understand that there's this crisis along the border. They don't really know who's in charge of it. And we're going to have to let them know. Most people in America have no idea that Alejandro Mayorkas is the Homeland Secretary and that he's the guy that's responsible for keeping us safe along the border. So we have got to lay the predicate by lighting the fuse. The fuse for removal on restoring us to some kind of sanity along the border is to impeach the guy that has purposefully made us less safe along the border, and that's Secretary Mayorkas, and that's why we need to impeach. I mean, and once we do that, the American people will be able to put a face and a name to the disaster and the danger and the inhumanity along our southern border.
Now, Andy, you have voted against every immigration bill that was brought to the floor of the House under the reign of Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That probably won't surprise people. What might surprise people is that you have also voted against every immigration bill that Paul Ryan brought to the floor when Republicans had the majority. And so if we are coming back into power, what is it that you think the Republican establishment and Republican leadership get wrong about the immigration issue?
Well, what they get wrong is that they think you can stop people from coming by granting amnesty to what would now be more than 20 million people. So they want to trade amnesty for border security. But what they get wrong, and this is just fundamental. We all respond to incentives. So what's happening now is every time we have a promise of amnesty or even a discussion of amnesty, what we see happening is we see people flooding across the border. So all of the policies that Donald Trump put in place that made it so where we only had 40,000 apprehensions in July of 2020 when he was the president, you now have 213,000 because this group emasculated all of those policies and they provided those incentives. So when you say, oh, Andy, what we're going to do is we're going to give amnesty and then we're going to secure the border, they've got it backwards. What should happen is you secure your border, you make sure people aren't coming across. And when you do that, you also give yourself an ability to have a rational, not a visceral, but a rational discussion. And until you start deporting people, you're going to have these problems coming across the border.
What confidence do you have if the Republican Party retakes the majority that we will be done with the Paul Ryan strategy of trading amnesty for border security and that we'll actually deliver on the promises that we've made to the people?
Well, I don't have a lot of hope, Matt, and I'll tell you why. The Republicans view the low-hanging fruit of amnesty as being DACA, the DACA population. And they're going to tell you, oh, it's about 680,000, 700,000 people that are still in that DACA population. Well, that's not true. You start adding in people that fall into that range that were here before the deadline, and then you start adding in people who are similarly situated, and you start adding in the family members that they all want, and next thing you know, you're talking 7 to 10 million people. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I hear Republicans say, well, you know, we could do with DACA, we need to do something positive on the DACA, and you and I have friends that think this, I say to myself, you're missing the point. Again, it's all about incentives. It's all about the rule of law.
Jeez.
And they don't want to follow the rule of law. And I'm thinking of people I know, family members, friends, who literally, and actually I had a former employee, his family waited 13 years to come into the country legally or to become citizens, but they came in legally. And you're basically going to give amnesty to these people and you'll incentivize more people to come. You cannot make that trade-off if you want to have a secure border.
The border gets a lot of attention because we see the crisis there so concentrated. Do you believe that an essential element of any Republican immigration plan must also demand internal enforcement of our immigration laws and actual deportations of people who've come here illegally? Or is it enough to seal the border? Because I'm of the view that we've had this problem so acute for such a long period of time that we've actually got to deport people who are in the interior of the country. Do you share that perspective?
Yeah, 100%, Matt, you're 100% right. I mean, here's a way to think of it. Right now, we have about 1 million people with removal orders that have already had due process. These are people who've had due process and an immigration judge tell them, you need to leave. And what's happened is Secretary Mayorkas has basically told ICE to stand down. We're not going to go out and find those people and remove them. Well, you no longer are a country that has the rule of law when you do that. A big step is you got to get control of the border. But if you do not remove people who get in here illegally, then the only other alternative, at least our Republican colleagues would say, is to grant amnesty. And the bottom line is you lose all of the advantages of having a sovereign nation by granting amnesty, blanket amnesty. You should be removing people. And not only should you be removing people, you should be moving your immigration judges to the border, keeping them on the border, and for a moment anyway, stop the backlog of cases and just deal with cases of the torrent that's coming across now, because over 90% of them don't qualify for asylum in this country. So you shouldn't grant asylum, you shouldn't be granting amnesty, you should be exercising due process and removing people who have no business being in this country.
Is the U.S. government the largest human trafficker in the world? Because we pick these people up at the border and then we deliver them right into the arms of the cartel. And you and I have heard stories from the CBP agents who've told us that at times you'll have a group of 40 or 60 illegal aliens who will all say they have the same cousin Guillermo in Miami. And then turns out that is a cartel operative. Is it your belief that impeachment articles against Mayorkas can hopefully create a different culture in the Department of Homeland Security where stopping the illegal aliens becomes more important than transporting them?
Yeah, I mean, Matt, we are the logistics arm of the cartel. So you always have the last mile delivery. Well, that's where we are today with the catch and release program. We're sending people all over the country.
Andy Biggs, one of the smartest guys on this issue. Andy, give your social media coordinates so folks can follow you and be up to date on key immigration issues.
Matt, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't know my key social media coordinates. I just read them. I couldn't tell you how to get to them. But I hope that people would go to my website and pull some of those coordinates down and follow me on these issues.
On Twitter, you don't know what your own Twitter handle is? You wait till the end of the interview to break the news. Andy Biggs can't find himself on Twitter, but he can find all the right answers to the immigration challenges. We will put them up on screen, Andy. We will make sure folks know how to find you, because this is important. We have to craft a Republican majority and a Republican party that will fight on these things, that will not give up, that will not trade amnesty. And what I think we've shared very bluntly with the American people here is that there's some work to be done, not just in persuading Democrats, but within our own party and in our own movement. Thanks for being the leader of that. Thanks for being the leader of the Freedom Caucus and for all you do in Congress for the great folks in Arizona.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. And before I go, I just want to say thank you and tell everybody who's watching this podcast, that's one of my best friends in Congress. And I'll tell you this, he does a great job representing his constituency, great job making the case. And quite frankly, he's the best debater in the United States Congress. I'm grateful to serve with you, Matt, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Andy. Appreciate it. And we'll be checking back with everybody soon.